May my speaking and all our thinking be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And Jesus said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. In a 2002 HBO special, Robin Williams listed his top 10 reasons for being an Episcopalian. Number 10 on his list was no snake handling. But at the top of his list was this: no matter what you believe, there is bound to be at least one other Episcopalian who agrees with you. Williams was being funny, but his humor spoke to a truth about our Anglican communion that I hope we prize and foster here at All Saints. It is not the culture of our church to judge or shame others for their beliefs. We are unified by our faith in Christ as God, but there are many differences between us, and we celebrate those differences. No doubt, somewhere in Appalachia is a snake-handling Episcopalian looking for other snake-handling Episcopalians. So in some ways, this Lenten series of ours, which purports to say what Anglicans believe, sounds like a contrarian endeavor. The truth is, Anglicans believe a whole load of different things. And that is certainly true of our topic today, which is faith. When you look at what Anglican theologians have written and believed about faith, you very soon recognize the tension between our denomination's Catholic and Protestant roots. You can talk about faith to an evangelical Anglican in Northern England, or South Carolina, or Alabama, or Houston, or most of the Anglican dioceses in Africa and South America, or the Diocese of Sydney in Australia. And what you hear is saving faith. It will sound very much like what you might expect to hear from a Southern Baptist about faith. In that Anglican tradition, faith is something experiential. Faith is what authenticates. You are born again by faith in a conversion experience which you never forget. It happens in a rush of emotion. You are not regenerated by baptism. Baptism follows the experience of being born again. In that wing of Anglicanism, faith is fundamental. Faith is the bedrock. Without faith, you are damned. And that gives a very clear focus to church life. And that focus is bringing others to saving faith. I began my sermon with Jesus' words to the woman whose flow of blood he had just staunched. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. And saving faith does that for you. In that tradition, nothing else can do that for you. That understanding of faith is very much what many Anglicans believe. It must be honored. And I know that many members of All Saints have experienced saving faith. What I've been talking about is that tradition which flowed from the 15th century Protestant Reformation in Europe through the Anglican Puritans to the evangelical revival in the Anglican Church in the late 18th century, both in England and in the United States. The other tradition that I'm going to talk about, and this too comes from the time of the English Reformation, at least as far as it came into focus, is this. Many people in England were far less ready to embrace the changes that were coming from Europe. And they held to the faith as it was practiced. The structures of practiced faith had been in place in England for 1500 years. There were dioceses, each with its own bishop. There were archbishops in York and Canterbury. There were great cathedrals and parish churches throughout England. And that was where the lord and the lady and the common villagers went to church to practice their faith. In the parish churches, the calendar of the liturgical year was followed. Children were baptized, couples were married, and funerals for loved ones were held. Masses were said. In the finer churches, the stained glass windows told the stories of the Bible. Most people didn't care about a pope in Rome, and they didn't care very much that they were now hearing the Mass in a language which they could understand. So long as, in its essentials, practiced faith stayed the same. The faith was what you learned by repeated doing. You learned to say your prayers. You learned there was a God who loved you. You learned that he sent his Son to redeem the world. You learned to repent when you had done wrong, and you learned that God forgave you when you did. You learned about heaven and hell, and you hoped your actions in this life would lead you to heaven. You learned that you should love God and your neighbor. You learned right from wrong. You learned to be a steward of what God had given you, and to share it with those who were less fortunate than yourself, and you learned to be content with what you had. And you taught all those lessons that you had learned to your children. This practiced faith is not the saving faith of the evangelical Anglicans, but it too is not to be despised. It belongs very much to what Anglicans believe about faith. And it is to be admired because it forms very fine Christians. Practiced faith is quietly devout. It doesn't make a great display of itself. It tends to be conservative, but in the original, not politicized sense of that word. Importantly, it is no less true of practiced faith than it is of saving faith that it makes people whole. In the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 is the best known discourse on faith. It begins with these words that will be familiar to you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it continues with a list of heroes of the faith drawn from the history of Israel. In every case with these heroes, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews shows how faith was what formed that individual's unique excellence. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Through their faith, the writer to the Hebrews said, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And then in chapter 12, the writer turns his attention to his readers and he challenges them. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is a powerful exhortation to keep the faith, based upon the example of ancestors who have just done that. And I would like to end my sermon with a similar exhortation to all of us, to keep the faith. What do Anglicans believe about faith? All sorts of things, and probably some pretty quirky things. But we have faith ancestors in our Anglican tradition who are amongst the finest example of Christian people that the world has ever seen. And they compass us about as so great a cloud of witnesses. And those Anglican ancestors who compass us about exhort us to keep the faith. looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thomas Cranmer, the author of our Book of Common Prayer, valued above all lively faith. That is faith that gives life. And that is the faith that I exhort all of us to keep. Amen.